Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where with emotional insight and poetic economy, two award-winning talents team up to conquer a universal childhood fear. Thanks for joining us.
That's just true. I know that's this is true. Actually copied from a kid's book, but that's also us.
Yeah, that's definitely us. I mean, you know, we don't like a lot of feelings. Like, we start to get uncomfortable at a certain point with emotional honesty. But I think we could get you through being afraid of the dark.
Yeah. And FOMO.
FOMO.
The universal childhood fear.
The universal childhood fear. Exactly. This one is, in fact, by Lemony Snicket. And illustrated by John Klassen. So that is definitely two big wigs right there.
The Dark by Lemony Snicket.
Not as big as us. I think we can agree.
Well, who is, though, really? That's unfair.
Award-winning talents up in here, am I right?
Award-winning podcasters, Molly Wood and Tom Merritt. So, that's us.
So, you know, yeah. Never fear. We're gonna ease the FOMO and keep you in the loop.
Now, on top of being an award-winning podcaster, I also live in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really. I live in Los Angeles. I'm like not even close to Hollywood, but everyone who's not in Los Angeles thinks I live in Hollywood, and therefore I must buy a cold plunge.
Yeah, you do have to buy a cold plunge. Because we did talk about the practice, but not this.
Not the device.
Apparently, the product.
The product is so hot. Amongst everybody, Jason Momoa, Chris Hemsworth, Lady Gaga, Joe Rogan, they're all doing it. Mm-hmm. All spectrums, colors, creeds are getting the cold plunges. Basically, it's an outdoor bathtub you get in that's really cold. And
so
it's
cold.
Supposedly boosts the immune system and all the stuff we talked about when we talked about cold plunges. And Variety has done a wire cutter-like review of cold plunges.
Oh my God. They really, it is just like the wire cutter. And presumably it is just in fact because all the Hollywoods are doing it.
Yes.
This is amazing.
So the readers of Variety are like, well, I need to find out what's the best cold plunge. So I am not embarrassed when Chris Hemsworth comes over and I show him my cold plunge. According to Variety, the editor's choice is the Sun Home Cold Plunge Pro. A game changer in cold water immersion.
What?
It reaches literal freezing temperatures.
That's the part where I can't make words come out. It gets to freezing temperatures? Why would you want
While
that?
Many ice plunges advertise themselves as backyard friendly, this is the only one professionally rated for outdoor use, featuring a robust military-grade exterior fortified with durable coatings to endure even the harshest environments. You know, like Los Angeles.
Like Los Angeles, exactly. Okay, tell our listening audience, Tom, how much you can expect to spend on what is basically a fancy ice cooler.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get the editor's choice, you're going to spend $9,050.
$9,050. Let's talk about the budget pick.
That's the top of the line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a deal for you. You can get Plunge the Plunge for a mere $4,490.
Yeah. If you want to go
If I sold
Lux,
all my gold ETFs, I could afford it.
You could afford it. Half a one, maybe. If you want to really splurge, though, you want adjustable flow rate.
Money is no object.
That can disrupt your thermal barrier, a direct cold hydro dose for pinnacle cold exposure therapy, a waterproof
exterior.
Lady Gaga's
coming over. I don't want to be embarrassed.
No. Then you're getting the Core Chill Elite Cold Plunge Tub for $25,000.
25 Gs.
25 Gs to freeze your A off. I didn't really know that I didn't really know that Coldplay, I mean, I guess I should have considering that it started in like Finland and stuff and they get into the, and it's pretty close to like 40 degree water or freezing or whatever. I didn't really realize people were just straight up ice bathing in these things.
Yeah. Just doing it at home.
Oh, now, God.
I do want to point out at the very bottom of this Variety article, they do have the above ground pool of plunges. Mm-hmm. The Pod Company Ice Pod is a portable ice bath, simply designed to enjoy cold water therapy. It has none of the bells and whistles. It's just basically a tank that you fill with ice water. $149.
Now we're talking. Yeah. $149 for just a little garbage can full of ice.
Human-sized bucket.
There you go. I mean, honestly, if you get anything other than that, you're just too stupid to live.
Cold plunge.
Horrible. Well, okay. As is sometimes the case, I have accidentally brought a thing that goes perfectly with this thing.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Because evidently, the cool thing in fitness and quantified self-tracking is the Whoop recovery score that you can learn, you can, Whoop. You know, track and learn from the Whoop fitness tracker.
What is it exactly?
I guess the deal with the Whoop is that it, you know, it tracks your, well, it doesn't, okay, unlike actually, let's say the Apple Watch, right?
I
it
see
doesn't
it's
track
transformative
steps or runs or workouts or whatever. It tracks your heart rate zone, your cardiovascular strain, and it gives you this thing called a readiness score, which is a combination of your skin temperature, blood oxygen levels, heart rate variability, and resting heart rate. And so it's not, and then it like, it'll base your readiness score on how much sleep you got, for example. And then it'll say like, oh, okay, so your heart rate spiked yesterday because you had this really high intensity workout, and you didn't sleep very well. So you shouldn't do as much today because you might get hurt because your readiness score is lower.
Okay. So they're really hanging what seems like a fairly run of the mill fitness tracker. Like this is not that different from a Fitbit or something else that's out there, right? It's a screenless Fitbit tracker. That's a category. Mm-hmm. They're hanging it on their algorithm to be like, yeah, but we got the way to interpret your data.
Yeah, totally. They're hanging it on the score specifically,
yeah, yeah.
This idea of the readiness score. And, you know, I mean, people are learning a lot about how they sleep, as I think people probably often do whenever they track their sleep. You know, like, oh, this person in Marie Claire was like, oh, I, you know, spent 8 or 9 hours in bed, but my sleep is actually pretty poor and then I'm waking up a lot. And so I changed my bedtime routine and then now I have a better... Sorry, my washing machine is making noises in case you can hear that. It's not my Whoop. But
your sleep was good.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's whether you are into this kind of thing, obviously. But I do think this is a little bit, to your point, it is a little bit of a differentiator for it to just kind of be like, you're ready to rock today. You should totally work out. Or the reason you feel so tired is that you actually are. And you should stop.
I didn't catch. You don't pay for the band. You pay for the service.
I assume so.
Like you get the band for free if you sign up for a certain amount of the service. Sign up now and get a Whoop 4.0 for free.
No, but I think there's also like a. I think there's also an app, maybe like a.
Just like not a, even you don't even need the Whoop band.
I think that you could just get a Whoop app that integrates with your Apple Watch, but let me see.
And then use their algorithm, use their readiness score.
Yes, you can. So you can use the Whoop app and just and just integrate it with your Apple Watch data because the new one can track a lot of the same things like sleep and temperature, I think, and heart rate. And so then you can just use Whoop with the Apple Watch,
okay,
or so get the band.
The Verge reviewed this in March 2022 and said, mm-hmm. like the Oura Ring, Whoop is a buzzy fitness tracker worn by the rich and famous LeBron James and Michael Phelps among the first.
Yep.
So that's what started it on its road to thingdom right there. That makes sense.
It did. Yeah. Exactly. It's like all these like hardcore. And so now you see like, goodbye, Whoop, like how to use the Apple Watch instead. And, you know, Whoop versus Apple Watch, the fitness tracker. So it's just, it's not brand new, as is often the case here on It's a Thing. It is not brand new.
No, but we're late. Yeah.
But it's Molly's become, yeah. it's a thing now.
Yeah.
It's enough of a thing that people are like, wait, do I have to get this? Or can I just like use my phone?
Saray thinks it sounds like we're self-censoring. That is a whoop. Great deal.
I don't know. This sounds like whoop.
Sounds like, it smells like whoop to me.
Exactly. I like the recovery idea though. Recovery.
Yeah. That's
smart. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah. If I were to rely on it, I'd want know a little more about how they, you know, how they vet their recovery score and why I should believe it. But,
right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. I don't know.
Me either.
I don't know. I'm not particularly quantify-y. If I feel tired, I don't work out.
Yeah. If I feel tired, I sleep.
Yeah.
But so. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe Whoop would tell me like, oh no, not now.
Sometimes you slept great last night. Yeah. Suck it up, Buttercup. Get out there.
Get out there on the road.
There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothes.
How else are you going to become the next Shohei Ohtani?
Oh man, I am so excited for this. Let's go.
Shohei Ohtani, also not new, also been a thing for a while, like a la Whoop. but Shohei Ohtani has like become quadruple to 10 times the thing just in the past week because of a multitude of reasons. So Shohei Ohtani, if you somehow don't know, first player in multiple decades, usually compared to Babe Ruth, because he can pitch at Cy Young Award winning levels and bat at MVP levels. So he's a two-way player, something that just does not happen. If you have two-way players in the major leagues, of which there, you know, maybe you can name two in the past 20 years, they're generally not that good at one side. It's like, nah, I can kind of pitch in a pinch, but he's really better hitter. Or this pitcher can kind of hit, you know, maybe we'll use him in late innings as a pinch hitter. Shohei Ohtani is like a top star at both. In Japan, comes to the United States, plays for the Los Angeles Angels and wins the MVP, wins the Cy Young, wins the Rookie of the Year, like shows that like he couldn't only just do it in Japan. He could do it in the United States as well. And of course, the big thing that accelerated him was he was a free agent this year and came up the freeway from what is actually Orange County, not Los Angeles, where the Angels play, to play for the Dodgers. And when you play for the Dodgers, yeah, the Angels are in Los Angeles, but the Dodgers have the spotlight. Right. The Dodgers are the Yankees of the West Coast. The Dodgers are the other hat you see everyone internationally wearing besides the Yankees hat. So that makes him become a huge thing. Right.
Well, he's and with the size Dodgers. Of his contract. He's with the Dodgers.
$300 million.
For $300 million.
That he deferred.
Yeah.
So it's like, look at this guy. He just wants to play the game. I mean, he wants his money too, but he doesn't need it right now to give the Dodgers flexibility to afford the other players they need to win a World Series. He is willing to defer his salary to keep them under the salary cap. What a guy. He has a secret wife. The Dodgers are opening the season in Seoul, Korea this year. They've already done it, right? And so in advance of him going to Korea, he reveals who his wife is. She's like a basketball star in Japan. So that when they're in Korea, which by the way, Korea, very close to Japan. So a ton of Japanese baseball fans come to Korea, buy up all the tickets, go to the games. And there she is in the stands, you know, wearing her Dodger uniform, proudly cheering for a man. Okay. We're already at Thingdom, right?
Right. It's like, already
that's
a thing.
All we need.
So, yep. All of this.
Then last week.
And then.
His interpreter, who's been with him since Japan, this guy was with him with the Angels. He's the guy who, you know, says what Shohei says in English. Shohei can actually speak English, but it's one of those things where like he isn't confident enough to sound the way he wants to sound. So he's going to speak through an interpreter. That's fairly normal. And the interpreter says like, oh yeah, this is what he says, etc. The interpreter gets caught gambling. Now, clearly, it's important to note, not gambling on baseball. This is not a situation where he was betting on the Dodgers or the Angels or anything like that, but it's illegal. He is not allowed as a Dodgers employee, which he is, to bet on anything sports related. He gets caught gambling and The financial transactions show the money to pay his gambling debts coming from Otani's account.
Yeah.
So,
and the numbers are big. And the numbers are, they're not contract big.
I mean, they're not $300 billion big, but they're big.
They're like, it's like $4.5 million, yeah. Right? Like, it's a lot of money.
So he says, Otani did me a solid. It was all me. This is all my fault. He helped cover my debts. I thank him for that, but it was me who broke the rules, me who broke the law. I'm to blame. Otani at first says like, yeah, yeah, it was all him. Then I imagine someone says, well, if you knew you were paying his gambling debts, you know, you're going to be liable, right? And the Otani story becomes he stole from us.
Mm-hmm.
We did not know he was taking this money, and he took it without our knowledge. We didn't know what it was for. Not us. You can't blame us. Otani, not under legal investigation. There's no, the cops have said there's nothing here. We're not going to investigate. But Major League Baseball is investigating. And mm-hmm. if they were to find that the greatest baseball player since Babe Ruth,
I mean,
is somehow guilty of aiding a gambler, right? I don't think anybody even thinks that Otani was gambling, but like if they find that he knew, then he gets suspended for like 100 games, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it, yes. And the gambling itself, I believe, was illegal. Right? Because it was in California. It was like happening.
He was calling a bookie. There are like right? This is not states. FanDuel. Yeah. He's right. So it's interesting to me that the cops aren't going after him, but they are. The law enforcement has said like, yeah, there's, we looked into it. We're not pressing charges. There's nothing here.
Mm-hmm. I see. For the moment. I mean,
Those sorts of things could change. Somebody, some other law enforcement somewhere else could decide to jump in, I suppose. Yeah.
We should probably clarify. We've been saying $300 million, but it's a 10-year, $700 million deal in total.
Oh, why do I have $300 million in my head?
I don't, maybe that's the amount that he deferred. As I've been following along and also looking up things to corroborate, I keep seeing the $700 million. I think it's the $300 million that he deferred, or he deferred most of
that,
it.
Yeah. That must be where I got the 300.
So he got more like almost $750 million to be not a generational talent, like a multi-generational talent who might now just not play. It is bananas.
Yeah.
The whole thing is bananas.
So I also know just plenty of people who would like to have married him. And were disappointed when he revealed that indeed there was a real human wife.
I see.
There are people in Korea. By the way, little background, Korea and Japan. You know, Japan occupied Korea for a large part of the 20th century. They, you know, historically are a little uneasy with them, with each other culturally these days, although plenty of them get along. Korea loves Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're like, oh yeah, we are Dodger fans when the Dodgers and Padres play in Seoul because Ohtani.
He also, by the way, deferred questions about his wife. Hey-o! Yeah, he like announced it on February 29th and it was super secret. And he was like, she's the normal Japanese woman. And then it turns out, of course, that she's like this, you know,
I think I have star this basketball right. This player. One I'm a little unsure of. I think also he like was hiding the name of his pet, like whether he had a dog, and then revealed the dog. And then his wife brought the dog to the game in Korea.
I was like, hey, I'm also, it's both of us. I also exist. Yeah. I mean, he's an intensely, oddly private human, and then all of this.
And incredibly world famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so glad that you brought this, because it is, like, it's just a thing where you just can say Shohei Ohtani, and everybody goes like, whoa.
People who don't know anything about baseball know who he is around the world, right?
Yep.
In fact, sometimes you may be more likely to find somebody who knows him outside of the U.S., Then
could be right, because the U.S. has kind of lost interest in baseball, but like globally, oh boy,
yeah,
that's a real good one. And also, just side note, like sports betting is an urban sports in the United States. We're just not prepared for it.
I saw an article about that. I didn't read it, but I saw a headline that said that today.
I mean, good, because I put it on Threads and have been saying it for like months off and on, because it's just
maybe I just mean the fact that like Threads post actually
maybe I mean the fact that like Disney is now officially in the sports betting game via ESPN. And like, there are like, you know, FanDuel's like incorporated into the NBA app. Like, it's just, it's fine. Wait until they start catching the refs. They've caught some already. There's just going to be more and more like match fixing.
It's fine.
It's fine. It won't
be a problem, Molly.
The rest of the world is very used to match fixing. That's how all those like Brazilian soccer referees get their heads cut off.
Exactly. You just got to cut off a few heads every once in a while. It's fine.
Just occasionally.
It's going to happen. It's the cost of the game. Playing the game.
It's just price of playing the game. You want to have fun, don't you?
Yeah. Right?
I mean, as long as we are all about vices in this culture, I suppose it should not surprise me that there is a rise of another kind of old school vice, smoking.
Yeah, wow.
Cigarettes.
Did not have this on my bingo card, to name another thing.
Yeah, right. Super duper thing. So I've sort of been seeing that smoking is back. There's even literally, and my son told me this actually, like sometime last year, I think he was like, oh, smoking's totally back. It was maybe even before that. It was one of those things where he was being a total sullen teenager and reading a book about communism on the beach. And my sister-in-law and I were chatting away. Uh-huh. And there was like an influencer taking pictures. And then she lit a cigarette and we were like, who smokes anymore? And my kid, without looking up from his book, goes, smoking's totally back. And I have sat on it for a while, and The Guardian wrote about it in 2023, smoking is back, and it's still cool and deadly. And then I was watching the premiere of The Three Body Problem last night, and there are like three or four scenes of the protagonists smoking, like the stars of the show, not just the like hard-bitten detective who smokes all throughout the book.
Yeah, right.
But just like a main character being like, I'm gonna go outside and smoke. And then she encounters like another attractive young woman and they're both smoking cigarettes, not vaping. I mean, I'm torn on this for obvious reasons because it is deadly and all of those things. But like, vaping is so stupid and embarrassing that in some ways, I guess I'm not surprised that if you give like permission for nicotine to be consumed, that people are going to go back to the way cooler way to do it instead of looking like a giant D. But fascinating. Fascinating.
So there's the retro aspect of it, right? Because it hasn't been cool for a while.
No.
And so there's the same pull to, you know, play cassettes and, you know, take photos with digital cameras that's like, ooh, and smoking instead of vaping, right? Don't use the modern way. I think there's that. There's also probably probably a health reason, as crazy as that sounds, of like, you know, vaping is probably not very good because it's all chemicals. Like, at least with the cigarette, I know I have natural leaves, you know, blah, blah, blah. As a former smoker, we used to smoke American Spirits for exactly that ridiculous reason. Right?
We were like, oh, the filters in Marlboro's will kill you.
Yeah. American Spirit is organically grown. There's not all those additives on the leaves so that, you know, you're getting pure cancer. You know, you're getting your cancer from the tobacco and nothing else.
And there are various reasons. Like when you try to, in fact, I was on a call with somebody the other day who said, my teenage kids are really, really, really into thrifting and they don't want to buy anything new. And they're really concerned with the climate and climate change. And also they smoke cigarettes because they're completely nihilistic about their own futures. So I think there's also this sort of like nihilism factor. Also, like, everybody's smoking everywhere weed. So I suppose it was not a surprise that like cigarettes would come, and it's sort of a 90s thing. And then maybe it's like a backlash against all the wellness stuff too. There's just been this like AG1, you know, like on the one hand you have like the Hubermans, by the way, big thing. Have we not talked about Huberman? Did nobody bring that last week?
I don't think we brought it. Yeah.
Damn. Maybe we should put a pin in this because boy, well, I don't know. It might be gone. Anyway, I don't know if y'all read that crazy story about Andrew Huberman, who himself had become enough of a thing that I was like, do I need to talk about this?
Yeah, it didn't really hit my radar, to be honest.
Oh,
I sort of know what you're talking about.
There's a certain population of people who are really into this guy, Andrew Huberman. They think he's like a Joe Rogan, but with science, kind of.
Okay.
And it's super duper wellness focused.
Oh, interesting.
And then, of course, not surprisingly. So
but that's the tie into the smoking is the one.
That's the tie into the smoking thing. Yeah. Exactly. The people who were into that, not surprisingly, turned out to be a massive philandering creep control freak.
Who would have guessed?
Wow. Somebody who sets them up to be like a messiah and a prophet for your personal health ended up being kind of awful?
Turns out to be the opposite. Whoa.
Again?
When has that ever happened?
In New York Magazine, not the New Yorker. Anyway, there is, I think, a backlash. On the one hand, you have these extreme wellness biohacking people. And so I suppose it is not at all surprising that on the other hand, you have people who are like, double barrel, buddy. I'm like, no.
The generation that isn't drinking or having sex is smoking?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know. Weird, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't have called that.
Because I guess they had to do something.
It is interesting because Saray asked this, did smoking ever go away in Asia? I mean, I can't speak for the entire continent, but when we went to Japan and Korea in 2016, smoking still a bigger culture there than it was in the U.S. at the time. When we went to Japan in 2019, it had reduced quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like the smoking had been reduced. And then we just went to Korea last year and I didn't notice it a lot. It's still more prevalent, but not a lot. However, Queen of Tears, which you can watch on Netflix, is a currently broadcasting show out of Korea and has characters who smoke in it. And that is not usual because we watch a lot of Korean dramas in this house. It's interesting that you're like the three body problem also had it in there. Like it's interesting to see kind of pop back up. Now I think with Queen of Tears, only villains smoke, which is
right.
You know, kind of a way of bringing it in, but then not condoning it.
Right. This was, and I think that's exactly why this did stick out to me so much, because it's sort of like, you could imagine like a police detective smoking constantly. Sure. That happens all the time.
Or the evil mastermind. Yeah.
But to have like one of the key protagonists,
one of your heroes,
step outside twice in the half an episode that I have watched so far for a cigarette blew my mind. There's a piece in The Independent actually from March 1st that is like, this is the year smoking has officially become cool again. It was on the catwalks at London Fashion Week. Like bananas.
Why?
This is what's happened. There were entire catwalk shows where the models were carrying unlit cigarettes.
I haven't smoked this century.
Oh, I have. Like, not very often, but every once in a while. You know, fair. I have some friends who smoke, some newer friends who smoke. And then like every few months I'll be like, I'm going to have a cigarette because it's awesome.
I mean, we're both always on fire though. So
yeah, that's
in
true.
In some ways.
We are pretty much in fuego. This is not health advice. Please don't smoke. It's horrible.
Don't smoke. There's nothing good about it for you.
Except it looks cool as hell. Don't smoke.
Never
it's
too
awful.
Late.
So
never
bad
too
you.
Late to quit.
Exactly.
Feedback at itsathing.me is something we are very much looking forward to, because we have a return piece of feedback that we can't wait to get to, but we're not going to get to it first because we're going to start with Mike, and we don't mean to diminish Mike. Mike is amazing. Mike wrote in with a thing check. Ready for a thing check, Molly?
Let's go.
I was in a planning meeting for a new ERP at work. ERP?
What is that?
ERP.
What is ERP?
At work. I want to say
software.
For new ERP.
Enterprise resource planning, a software system that helps you run your entire business, supporting automation and processes in various domains.
I was in a planning meeting for that at work, and the consultant repeatedly used double click to mean, let's look deeper into this. Let's double click that. We need to double click that later. Then just now, I hear the host on Pod Save America use double click in the same way. Have you heard this out in the wild, Molly?
Oh, yes. Wow. Good one, too, by the way. That's a good one. Because
we did this one.
I thought that we did. It's very much a type of person who says double click, but it's a thing. And I actually did find myself just the other day, I said it in an interview and I was like, oh God, who am I? I was like, I just want to double click on that. And then
earlier
I realized
this
I had
year,
somehow crossed over.
Oh wait, no, last year, May 24th, 2023, episode 267. Let's double click on that.
Damn.
Along with Orca Wars, shadowboxing, and being on the roster.
I'm sorry. This show is amazing.
But so, Mike, that is not to diminish it. It's to say,
no.
Like, good spot, still going, and confirmed thing.
And possibly spreading. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damon writes in on a new phenomenon. Hello, Tom, Rich, and Molly. I have a question for you. Have you ever tried to Shazam a song without anyone you were with knowing?
Yes, definitely.
If so, it turns out you are not alone. People are embarrassed to Shazam songs for fear they will be made fun of for not knowing the song. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to my 15-year-old and he said that he has tried to stealthily Shazam a song for just this reason, or be embarrassed to let his friends know that he actually likes the song playing. Personally, I've held my phone up higher in a grocery or department store to make sure that I Shazam the song before it's over, but I'm a dad of four and all potential embarrassment left my body long ago. Also, I want it to be on the record that if this does gain traction in the news, I get credit for coining the phrase Shazam shaming if it doesn't already exist and you guys can say you reported it first.
Deal.
When it shows up in the Atlantic.
Damon had it first.
Damon had it first.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't seen this. That's so good.
Definitely did it 2 weeks ago at a concert, you know, when they're like playing the music before the concert starts.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, I don't want anyone else to know that I don't know what this song is. When is this? Oh, that's what that song is. Okay. Thank you, Shazam.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah. That's an excellent spot. I have not done it, but I love it.
Yeah. Very, very good. Joe Hood on a fashion thing. Friends in things. I have observed a completely inconsequential thing that for some reason makes me smile. I have seen a trend, both in real life and my algorithm, of people wearing sweaters over their shoulder. Not shoulders, like a preppy bad guy in a 1980s comedy, but over a single shoulder, like some variation of the ubiquitous sling bag. I have seen this on multiple college campuses walking around New York City, and it is starting to pop up as a sweater hack on my TikTok feed. Somehow, this new version of a preppy classic amuses me, and I hope to see it more. Keep on thinking.
That is delightful.
I'm going to keep an eye out for this. That's
I am too.
Spot. Yeah.
That's a really good spot. Yeah, I have not seen that, but I love it. God, I really need to leave the house more. This is not good.
Sling sweater? Is that how you say that, Saray?
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to look it up, but I couldn't figure out the search term.
Some people
the
calls
sling
it a
sweater?
Kaiser sweater, but I calls it a sling sweater.
Oh, man, we are so of a certain age. Oh, boy. But you know what? Our next feedbacker has been rocking along with us for these many years. We have a voicemail.
Hey, this is Remy. I think I can confirm the do not disturb thing. I definitely have seen that more. And especially the thing where you text someone or contact someone and then it all of a sudden appears. Maybe I'm just a wide-eyed optimist. But I feel like what's happening is the person who does that meant to have it on Do Not Disturb, and then when your text came through, reminded them, ooh, actually, no, I want to be on Do Not Disturb. Second, my wife and I went out of town for our anniversary, and we went into the Aurora Fashion Outlet Mall in Aurora, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And we walked into a store. She was looking for a particular thing. As we walked in, the clerk greeted us and said, "Welcome in." So I've heard it in the wild. And finally, I'd like to leave you with this. Our purpose here on earth to manifest the very nature of our spirit, which is touched by the Spirit of God. This has been Rumi by Remy.
It was so unexpected. The first time I heard it, I was like, where's Remy going? He's off the rails. What is happening? Whew. And then it turns out that it was the next viral freaking internet feature that we need to launch.
Please, more Rumi by Remy.
Rumi by Remy, please. That is incredible.
Hey, this is Remy.
That, you know, I have a slot on the soundboard for Remy.
Really?
And so, like, I had not removed the previous Remy voicemail until this one came in.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, buddy.
Yeah.
Great good, to hear from to hear you, from as you. Always.
And Aurora, home of the Wayne's World characters. They do their Access Television, their fictional Access Television show in Aurora, Illinois.
Oh, really? Good trivia. Yeah, very good.
A little bit of trivia there. A little Cliff Clavin for you.
Thank you for all of your wonderful feedback. Feedback at itsathing.me. Thank you to those of you who support us here at the show at patreon.com/itsathing at any level, especially the shout out level. Today's shout-outs are based on a description. This is so eco-friendly. Based on a description of cloth coffee filters.
Cloth, the cloth diaper of coffee.
The cloth. Jeez. It's got that look, too, probably.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall I start?
Please.
Morris Jones strikes a great balance by filtering out small Laura Abels from Eric Duncan and allowing rich A.J. Venturella to soak through. This gives your Gabrielle Cohen a bolder flavor without the coarser texture caused by Jake Woods making his way down. Kevin Sill has become less popular than other alternatives because of the care and cleaning he requires, but serious Benjamin Forrest drinkers who want to replicate Louis St. Amour from their favorite James C. Smith shop at home tend to buy Mike Aiken's for the clear yet sweeter cup of Brian John Forcaro he produces.
If you want to upgrade your coffee game and invest in a cloth filter, you must know how to wash and clean it properly. After removing as much AB puppy residue from Valor trucks as possible, rinse them under running water and wring out. To preserve an antibacterial environment on Joe Hood, you should seal Lee Price in a Ziploc bag or small Tupperware and put him in your freezer.
No, don't put Lee Price in your freezer.
You want him to be antibacterial, don't you?
I want him to be alive.
I'm really with Afi James on this one, though, where the diaper joke just really ruined it, because unfortunately that is all I can picture now.
I've got cloth diaper on the brain because my dog is incontinent, so has to wear those wraps, and we have 9 cloth wraps. We have found that 9 is the magic number, and every morning starts with me washing them in the washer.
Yeah. Kind of almost the same as coffee. By the way, we're really, really sorry for this association.
Yeah.
Shout out patrons who pay the most to be part of the show.
That's my fault. That's not on Rich.
We really love you like we love coffee.
Yes.
And are grateful for you every day the same way we are grateful for coffee. Coffee is life. I will never forget Tom once upon a time putting in a bio of his that he was a coffee achiever.
Oh, it's still my bio.
Is it still your bio?
On every social network, podcaster, coffee achiever.
See, this guy gets it. And so do you. Thank you. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can support the show. Keep these butts in these chairs week after week. Plus, an ad-free RSS feed.
Yeah. You can also support the show by buying books through our links. Books? Well, I guess there's books, but there's all kinds of other stuff. Look for those in the show notes at our shopping page, itsathing.me/shop. You can also email us your things to feedback@itsathing.me. Do it now.
Do it now. See you next week.
Oops. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.